In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents a voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with unforgettable, ever-insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for inspiring moments of real-life journeys. This is a show about everything, as we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's guest, Paul Allar. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. Well, life changes indeed. And here we are, another very special show that I'm actually very excited about, and maybe even a little nervous. Nervous because I actually don't even know what I'm going to ask or how to ask or how to talk about our subject tonight, which is going to be partly the life of a transgendered child through the eyes of her mother. And her mother is our guest today. And this is going to be quite a fascinating conversation, if I might say so myself, because I am fascinated that she is starting to talk about this experience and is making it part of her mission in life to help others in many different ways. And we'll get into that. And it's interesting that this conversation comes on the heels of an experience that I had recently, or many experiences, frankly. But I'm actually getting ready for a show that I'm singing in a couple weeks. And there was a song that I was wanting to sing and a message that I wanted to give towards the end of the show. And I just didn't know what that song was or what that message was. I kind of knew what the message was, so I was looking for the right song, and I have so many songs, but none of them seemed to be the one that would fit in that place. And so I looked and looked and decided on a song that would be the one. Even though I wasn't thrilled with it, I just decided this will be the one. And I didn't have the music for that particular song, so I went looking on the internet to buy this music. And up came a website that supposedly said this song was in this website, but I didn't see it. So I clicked around and looked for it and thinking, why am I in this website? This is obviously not a music website. How could the song that I'm looking for be in this website? It was actually quite confusing, as sometimes I could get confused, until sometimes I say to myself, hey, maybe there's something more that or different than what I'm looking for. Maybe the answer is different than what I'm actually seeking. And so I just allowed myself to be in the website and not be frustrated with the fact that I wasn't finding what I thought I was looking for. Where this website led me to was a PDF, a folder full of information for a camp, a children's camp. And I was thinking, there's nothing here for me. And then I said, stop thinking, just look through this. And this PDF had 97 pages of stuff. And I'm thinking, why am I looking at this? And so I just knew in my brain that I was on a wild goose chase, and that this was just wasting the precious time that I had very little time, because I was busy with something else. But I said, relax, watch. Something really interesting is going to happen, and then you're going to go, see, you just need to be in the moment. And so my mind is arguing with this, saying, this better be good. And I'm thinking, this is like schizophrenic. And then I'm like, just stop and go through the website, because you're wasting more time. It does kind of sound schizophrenic, actually. I have to be careful who I share these things with. Of course, now I've shared it with all of you, but I quickly went through page after page after page. And when I got to page 93, I think it was, there, lo and behold, was sheet music, was music written out, a page, one page, with a song on it. And I thought, what is this doing here? It wasn't the song that I thought I was looking for. It was a song that I'd never seen before. And it was a song that I didn't think I was interested in knowing anything about. But I looked at it and I read the title and then I started reading the lyrics and I thought, wow, this is the song for the show. This is the song that I was looking for without knowing I was looking for. And I'm so grateful that I shut my mind up for just a moment to allow this magic to happen. Because as I read the words, tears started to flow down my face and I was recalling certain experiences. Unfortunately, a lot of experiences I had as a child. And I was thinking about all the children that still have these experiences. And the title of the song is called Don't Laugh at Me. And evidently it was sung by Peter, Paul, and Mary. And it's words and music by Stephen Seskin and Alan Shamblin. And how interesting that I just find this song less than a week ago or a little over a week ago. And now I'm interviewing the mother of a child who has had some interesting experiences. And I think you'll make the connection. The words go like this. I'm a little boy with glasses, the one they call a geek. A little girl who never smiles because I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm the kid on every playground who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend, but is that too much to ask? But is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. I'm fat, I'm thin, I'm short, I'm tall, I'm deaf, I'm blind. Hey, aren't we all? Don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. Don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. When we come back, we'll be talking to Paula Lair, the mother of a transgendered child, right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook, and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Joe, and our guest today is Paula Lair, and she is the mother of a transgendered child. The child is 16 years old, was born with male parts and identifies herself as female. And the mother is a Pola, is right now studying psychology and sociology, all because of her child, because of the experience that she's been through and her child's been through. She would like to ease this experience for other children, for other parents, and make a difference in the world because of this experience. So we welcome to the show Pola Lehrer.
Thank you.
You are very courageous, I think. Where does this courage come from?
My daughter. My daughter, because she's been through so much from the time she was small, and just the unhappiness and knowing how uncomfortable she was as a male. And she's made me more brave because of it and able to put myself out there a little bit more. And she's an amazing girl. Amazing.
You, of course, could have gone many ways with this, or maybe you did at some point, I don't know, anger, fear, resentment, or but you're in a different place now. Did you go through any of this?
Yes, and the fear never goes away when you have a transgender child, because you fear for their safety constantly, and that's the hardest part for me, even now that she's 2 years into the transition. My only negative is the fear that I feel as a mother for her every day that she goes to school and is out, because people are not educated in regard to the transgender kids, teens, even the adults. There's such a lack of education. And we had our hard times. It wasn't all wine and roses like it is now. Now she's well adjusted and she's a beautiful, happy teenager. But for a long time, it was very difficult. And kind of like we talked earlier, she was diagnosed as a sociopath. She was diagnosed with major depression. And this was all while she was still living as a male. And in a home like ours, it's very rough and tumble, and we're all very boisterous, and we joke, and we laugh out loud. This was my child that didn't participate, and it broke my heart. It just broke my heart. And now to see her.
Now she participates.
It's just amazing. It's incredible.
Wow. Let's start at the beginning. So you had a normal pregnancy.
Of course, yes.
And all went well. And then at around 2 years old, you started suspecting something.
At 2 years old, I even told my now ex-husband, I told him, I says, I think we have a daughter here instead of a son. And my husband at the time didn't understand that. This was his boy.
I don't know that I understand
and
that.
And it's very...
all the parts were there for a male body.
All the
body.
Parts were there. But she was female emotionally. The way she spoke, It's hard to explain, not just the dressing in the female clothes.
Well, but she's 2 years old, so she's not dressing in female clothes.
Well, what would happen was we had a swimming pool, and this was kind of when everything escalated. We had a swimming pool. I would have friends come over that had daughters about the same age. Before we knew it, Vi was in these little ones' outfits.
At 2 years old.
That they had taken off. She would have their floppy hats on, it was just quite amazing. The dresses that they had on were on her.
Wow.
Constantly draping towels around her to make dresses and things like that. It was very interesting. And it was very evident. And it was very evident emotionally to me that I was dealing with a female. I was not dealing with a male.
Now, up until that point, you had had two males.
Yes.
So you knew what it was like to raise a male child.
Exactly. Exactly. And this one was different.
It was different.
It was very different. And all we want is our kids to be happy. And this was a child that was not happy. And small things that happen along the way, I look at them now, and I, as a parent, I harbor guilt because I did not step up sooner. It's kind of an issue. That's my issue. It's not hers, but it's my issue for not stepping up sooner. And it's something that I'm going to carry around with me, is that guilt of not saying, you know what, we should have done this earlier. They'd like to start hormones at, you know, between 8, 9, 10 years old. And
really?
Yes, because it's not only does...
Now they is who?
Her doctor is actually in LA, and she's fabulous. She's a renowned physician that deals directly with this, and her name's Joanna Olson, and she's fabulous.
And this is at that, because my thinking here is that this is not a boy who dresses as a girl, but who identifies as a girl in more ways than one, or in every way, evidently, and so if after having an operation and all that stuff, you know, how does one know that then the girl decides I really should have been a boy? Maybe that's not a fair question for you. I'm thinking 8 years old, starting hormones.
It's that obvious. And as, like you explained, as a parent of a transgender child, I want to put it out there to other parents that if you have an inkling that this is going on, approach your child about it and just put it on the table, because more than likely it's something that they want to say to you, but it's, they won't say, whether it be shame, whether it be fear, whether it be your reaction, abandonment issues. But the decision was Violet's, and she made that decision, and she made the right decision. I have no doubt. The change in her has been incredible. In the past 2 to 3 years, she began the hormones late, because of issues with the family. You know, it was difficult, because I was very accepting, and the other side of the family was a little bit, wasn't quite as on board.
Are they now, by out of curiosity?
My family is completely on board, and they're very behind her in everything that she does. But my ex-husband's family was raised totally different. They're a whole different group, and so I don't hold any animosity toward them. I hope that Violet doesn't, and we do speak about it. You know, between her and I, we talk about it, and that's a whole different upbringing. But mainly, it's these kids have so much love and so much good inside them that it's not able to come out until they're comfortable in their skin. And this is what I went through with Vi, is I had an unhappy child for about 10 years. I mean, it was spooky. And she was diagnosed as severely depressed, as, you know, all these different things. They wanted to put a name on it. And none of them.
You knew that it wasn't.
It was not right. Yeah. And you want to fight back, but you've got professionals telling you. You know,
on the one hand, you say you have professionals telling you that there's something wrong, but then there are professionals who say yes, of course, and hormones should have been started at 8 years old. So this is something that, had you known those professionals, that might have been different.
Exactly, it's education. You even come across physicians now that have no idea what they're dealing with. Starting her with a therapist at a young age because she just wasn't happy.
But a lot of children are not happy.
This goes beyond. They become involved with cutting, with self-mutilation. They become involved in drinking at an early age, drugs at an early age. Suicide is the statistic is just incredible for transgender children and teens. And they become a statistic. And what I want to do is open that door of communication between the kids and the parents so that these children can approach their parents and the parents can educate themselves to what to look for and how they can help instead of wanting to hide this child or, you know, because it happens.
Well, right, you know, and there you go. You say you want people to be educated on what to look for, but they might know, they might see it. They don't have to look for it. It might be staring in them in the face, but it's the fear of how other people are going to treat the child and how this child is going to be able to survive in society.
And all that needs to start within the home.
Or criticism between family members or community.
It's, there you go. And this all needs to start within the home. Vi has two brothers, you know, and they are amazingly accepting of her now because she's a joy to be around. Mm. Whereas, you know, in the earlier years, she was no fun to be around whatsoever. And physically, she's healthy now. And we went through periods where she was unhealthy because she was either starving herself to death to get thin to acquire a female figure. Yeah, it was just a terrible cycle. And then once everything's out on the table, I don't quite know how to explain it, but it seems as though when everything's out there and everyone knows and it's not this big secret anymore, it just lightens everything. Everything is just more beautiful. And I have yet to tell someone my story or Vi's story and had a negative reaction.
Really?
I've yet to have that happen. But that is my end of it.
What about her and in school? And the reason we're talking about her and not really giving her full name and all that stuff is because she's underage and she will be 18 in a couple years. And hopefully at that point, between the studies that you're doing and the experiences, hopefully positive that she will have, that you all can come out together and share even more for others. So that's, we're trying to be really sensitive here. Now, she's not had positive experiences per se.
And I try and tell her, my attitude is, you know what, baby, it's all in the delivery. If you come across as being unsure or apologetic for this, that's what's going to come across. Mm-hmm. But if you put your chin up and square your shoulders and embrace it, it's going to be real difficult for somebody to push you away. Mm. And this is kind of what she's learning within the schools. Here, we live in a small town, very small town. The school that she goes to is a smaller school. Mm-hmm. They have been extremely receptive. I mean, they have been amazing, but we're setting precedents. Because in this school district, they had no idea what to do with this girl.
And they actually had a conversation with the students, right?
Oh, it's been amazing. Yeah, it has really been amazing because they had to figure out, okay, which restroom is she going to use? Where is she going to change out for PE?
Can I ask you which restroom?
They actually have designated a restroom that is in the faculty and for right now.
For now,
yes. And until she, what we're dealing with also is name changes because there's a lot of legalities about her utilizing, restrooms, this kind of thing.
Wow.
Within the school districts, and name changes, just these things you would never think about, what they can call her in a classroom.
As if it's not hard enough.
No. And so it's very exciting. It's been an adventure. We are making major strides in policies within this small district, and hopefully we can take it elsewhere.
This is fascinating. Well, obviously, I have to say I'm proud that we're doing this, and I'm proud of you. This is your very first interview.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been wanting to do this, and you're studying for this, and here we are. I'm honored that we could do this together, and our producers are like, let's do this. And
cool,
I was
I
the
appreciate
one that was
it.
I was more nervous than you. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't know what to ask. I have to say I'm very ignorant myself about this experience. So I want to talk a little bit more as soon as we come back right after this. And I actually have to tell the audience that I wish we could post this, but we can't, not yet. But I'm looking at a picture of Violet, of this beautiful young lady. And I have to say, she's a beautiful young lady. It's actually amazing. And I'm sure I sound ignorant saying that. I don't know what to say. She's a beautiful young lady. Let's leave it at that. We'll be right back with Paula Lair right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, FILIPPO.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and our guest today is Paula Lair. And during the break, Paula is saying, ask me anything, really. She's seen my nervousness. She's grabbed my hand saying, it's okay, we're sitting here together. It's okay. Ask me anything. And I've been saying to her, you know, Paula, that's great. That's you, though. I'm sure there are parents out there that don't want to be asked and don't want to talk about and hope nobody notices.
Yes, and that's part of what we need to change in all of this is the parents have to be, they have to want to educate themselves. They have to want to learn. If you have a child that you think that something is off or leaning this way toward transgender, you need to allow your child to feel comfortable enough in talking to you that they can approach you and talk to you about it. And I am very open, and there's really nothing that you could ask me that I would turn you down unless I didn't know the answer. Mm. But
well, you've said so much already, and I'm thinking, what do you see as a possibility of how we could all coexist? What a silly question.
We are beings. We are all human beings. It doesn't matter if we're transgender, if we're gay, if we're lesbian. You know, none of that matters. We're human beings. Nothing else should matter. And just like I tell Vi, or I try and impress upon her, you know, if you hold your head high and you square yourself up when you walk into a room and you're a good person and put a smile on your face, you know, there's not a whole lot there to not accept, you know? It's opening your arms. You have to open your arms to other people, and they'll open their arms to you. And she and I, we do go a little bit back and forth on this, because every so often, after living for 12 years or 13 years as a male, either one of the brothers will mess up and use the wrong pronoun and accidentally say him and she gets very, very upset. And so she's learning to cut some people some slack and to realize that, you know, we're not, you know, everybody's not quite used to calling you she right now. I know it's second nature for me and for her brothers a lot of the time. But, so she's learning a little bit more about.
So technically, I mean, looking at the picture right now, she looks like a female to me. So yes. Technically, with the hormone therapy and all that, in a few years, she will completely look like a... No one will know in this case. I don't think anyone would know.
No one knows now.
Okay, now there are some people where you could tell. Now, are those because they didn't have the hormones or the... I mean, you might not know the answer.
Okay, well, we were just talking about starting the hormones so early.
Right.
Okay, this is part of it. Right. Because especially with the male to female, they want to stop hair growth.
Right.
They want to stop muscle mass development. When it's a female to male, they like to start them on hormones before they even start their first menstrual period. I mean, it's for the benefit of the child to start this as early as possible. It really is, because it does make their transition much easier down the line. Vi has been very lucky, because she is very, very feminine. And so the fact that she wasn't able to start her hormones as early as maybe she should have, it didn't harm her.
Okay.
Like with some, because she does have fine features and, you know, but yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah, I was just about to say, talk about life changes, you know.
It's a journey.
I can just see, I mean, you're having a third child, you know, and it's, you're going along your happy or miserable life, whatever it was, I'm playing with you, but, you know, you're having a life like other people have. Now, all of a sudden, you're having an experience like not very many people do,
right.
although evidently a lot of people do, but it's not a huge percentage in comparison.
Yeah.
And now your life has changed.
Yes.
And you could choose, I suppose, to say, no, it's going to stay the way I had a boy and that's it. But you instead rose to this life change and said, here we go.
I have a happy, healthy child. That's what a mother wants. I have a happy, healthy child. And that is what matters the most. And this one is amazing. She is absolutely amazing. My two boys are amazing. This one's amazing.
And, you know, the interesting thing is talk about amazing. This is interesting and could be something that helps other children as well in this situation, is that she's getting attention from photographers and agents who want to, because she's got a very unique, beautiful look.
Yes, yes. In fact, she had her first photo shoot on Saturday, and they have just turned out incredible, and she's very excited about it. It's what she wants to do. She's always wanted to do makeup, so she's kind of following her dreams. Her dreams are coming true, and to be able to see that as a mom, it's incredible for me. It really, really is. And I do, since we're putting this out there, there it's called the Gender Spectrum, and it's held in Berkeley every year. And the Gender Spectrum is for transgender, also gay and lesbian teens. And it's actually 4 days of nothing but workshops for parents, for the kids, and also for their siblings. We were very fortunate that Vi's brothers had been so receptive with her. But a lot of these kids go through hell with the siblings. And this, if it's all on a website, go to Gender Spectrum. It's incredible. And it's one workshop after another for the siblings, the parents, and even for some of the therapists.
That's excellent, because I know you don't have a book yet or a website or anything, but I have a feeling you will. I think we'll see you and Vi on TV, and we'll applaud you, and we'll know that that this was your first interview.
I appreciate this. I so appreciate this.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and sharing this story in such a beautiful way. And for any suffering child, I appreciate somebody who is helping make any child's suffering eased. So,
and the parents tend to feel very lonely when it comes to this. We tend to feel like we're the only ones, and we're not. And so we need to talk. And I'm always available.
Yeah. And you're going to be more so as soon as you finish your finals and your midterms or whatever you're studying for right now. And I have a feeling we'll talk again.
Please.
And I look forward to that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I look forward to the book or the website or whatever it is and sharing that with our audience.
Thank you.
So thank you for educating me and for sharing this with the audience. And we'll be back with our producer's wrap after this. And once again, one last thank you to Pola Lair right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and this is our producer's wrap with Mark Legere. You there?
I am here. Hey, Filippo.
Hey, and we've just had a fascinating conversation with Pola Lair, and I have to say that I'm still catching my breath. I just sighed this sigh of relief.
Well, fascinating is certainly one word, but I think beyond that, as I sat back and listened, it made everything that we've done from the moment we started the show worthwhile. I think that discussion and these types of discussion are why we're here, to be able to share that kind of perspective, to be able to share that kind of experience, and then share the kind of perspective that hopefully can touch so many.
Well, I have to tell you, it touched me, and I have to say I can't believe that I've been so ignorant of this experience that people have, and especially children, and the processes and all of that. It, you know, we're all busy, and we have our lives, and we have our own issues and all of that. But the thing is then we come across somebody who's different from us, and we don't know what to do. It's weird.
Well, you know what? That don't know what to do, I think, is the key. And work with me on this for a second.
Okay.
Let's dehumanize the topic for just a moment, meaning take it out of the human realm, out of the conscious mind, where we have our programming and have been laughed at and had, you know, had our experiences growing up, which then look to something like this with certain judgments based on whatever our experience set is, right?
Mm.
But what if we are all truly aspects of God? What if we are aspects of one collective creative creation or force? And as that aspect, God said, I want to have this experience. I want to know what it feels like to be not accepted, right? We're here. This playground is for duality, is for contrast, to experience contrast. And what if we actually chose to not only have that experience, but then to have the experience of overcoming it, of overcoming the family issues, the school issues, the bringing this, the social aspects of this together, the overcoming of the feeling of not normal, the owning of the normalness, the trueness, her owning her beauty, you know, and these relationships blooming. And think of all of the ramifications that sets in motion.
Wow. You know, first of all, Mark, you're so in tune. I agree with what you're saying and the perspective that you give. And it's so interesting because Pola and I spoke before the show and I asked her that very question and we didn't have time to talk about it on the show, but that's exactly what I asked her. I said, so did God make a mistake? And she said, no. There's no mistake. And I said, so this is a soul that has chosen to have this experience. And she said something to the effect of not only yes, but the experience is also all of ours to be had. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And how amazing. Well, that's wonderful that you had that discussion. And that's the reason I said let's dehumanize it for a second is imagine how easy it is to then have compassion and share in the joy of that journey with the people that are experiencing this. If you look at it from that perspective, rather than your conscious, you know, learned mind where you're coming from judgment or fear or just, you know, weirdness because something's different than what you were used to or what you were told was normal. And you know, how liberating is that to be able to then embrace and support and explore that growth together?
Yeah, and you know, Mark, this actually strikes me kind of funny, but if we think if so many of us have a hard time looking at each other in all of our perfections or imperfections or whatever you want to call them and saying, oh, that's weird, how are we supposed to accept aliens?
Well, like, this is the whole point. Where do you draw the line? You know, everything is weird until it becomes normal. Everything is weird or strange until it's learned or experienced. Right? When you first had that first Brussels sprout as a kid, that was weird. Right? When you moved off of baby food into solid foods, that was weird. Right? Every experience is weird until you learn it. And this is the thing that if people could start to understand that, they could step away, step out of their ego, and start realizing that maybe that Indian person, or that African person, or that whatever nationality, or that alien, you know, chose...
Or that transgendered child, right?
Or that transgendered child chose to have that experience.
Yeah. I have to say it's been hard wrapping my mind around this, and it's a conversation. Not this in particular, but it is the type of conversation that I've been wanting to have. And I have to say, obviously I haven't been ready because, you know, I have to get to a place of comfortableness with who I am and what I'm doing and where I am in order to be able to accept more where other people are. And I'm realizing that this is part of our human experience, that if so many of us are wounded in the I am place, that we are so wounded that we feel like we have to wound or make fun of or somebody else in order for me to feel better, kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's because we've been set up in a survival of the fitness, you know, make all you can, squash your part, you know, your competition kind of environment, rather than a support each other. And imagine if we were taught that being different was beautiful when we're little. And some of us are, but we're not taught by society. So we learn that away, right? We may be taught that at home, but society, you know, teaches that out of us, basically. You know, you become jaded. But imagine if we were given just a whole different set of rules to play with. Then suddenly this experience becomes a completely different experience for her or any transgendered child.
You know, Mark, it's really interesting that the phone lines are burning up just more than ever on our show. And we made a decision a while back not to take callers because the show is only an hour and were the show another hour, we would love to take the callers and to have had Pola stay with us and answer questions. And hopefully someday we can do that very soon. So thank you for all of you who are trying to call in and who are trying to ask questions. And frankly, I don't know that I would know the answers to your question, and Pola's no longer with us. But hopefully this conversation that Mark and I are having it will help lead to other questions or other answers that we can help each other with, right, Mark?
Exactly.
So this thing about if we were taught that it's okay, you know, I'm sure you've heard me tell the story of my older brother who my parents had been immigrants to America from Italy, Sicily to be specific, and they had only been in this country a short time, and it was time for my brother to go to kindergarten. And so he went, and in kindergarten they had Halloween. Now, my mother didn't know what Halloween was, but when my brother came home with a little note that said that he was to dress up, mind you, he had only been in school, what, a month or so, or a month and a half, and she thought dress up as in the way that kids used to dress up for Carnival, Mardi Gras in Sicily. So she dressed him up as a Sicilian would dress up and sent him to school. Now, he didn't know any different and she didn't know any different. And he stood up in front of the class parading his costume, probably proudly, if I know my brother. And the kids laughed at him and he went home crying because he wasn't Batman like all the other boys, or Superman, or Spider-Man, with all the other store-bought costumes, which my mother didn't even know you could buy clothes costumes at the store. And he went home crying and said, "How come I have to be this? Why can't I be Batman like everybody else?" And I think the interesting thing to me is that if the teacher had asked my brother what his costume represented, the music, the culture, the food, so many aspects of what his costume represented, that it would have been all the other children who went home crying, saying, "How come I have to be stupid Batman? He's got music and food and all the stuff that goes with his costume. I'm just a Batman."
Yeah, it's amazing the stranglehold merchandising has on us as a society and as kids, of course, because those costumes ended up in all of those homes because they were designed to be sold to those people. And there's nobody out there actively, or not many out there actively, selling the benefits of all of that culture and the benefit of that uniqueness, the benefits of those differences, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, and had the teachers spent a little bit more time saying, "Wow, this is, and let's talk more about this, and what else do you know about it, and where is it on the map, and show us," and all of a sudden his segment would have become the most important segment of the day, and the kids could say, "Wow, how I don't want to be just this.
Just a subtle change of perspective makes all the difference in the world. And yeah, I mean, those kids could have been sold on that, and he would have been the star. Teachers and parents are so important at those important moments, to be present.
And, you know, I'm not going to blame the teacher, and I'm not going to put blame, at the moment at least, on even the parents or whomever, because parents at the time and even today, they're so busy and they're trying to put food on the table. And so they're already doing a lot. But as a culture, and that wasn't what we thought about then, and that's not how we lived. But now we have a different sensibility. Now we have we have the opportunity to have, especially with the internet, connecting with the world and all that. We can see what other people are doing, and we can celebrate.
Well, this goes back to my theory that, you know, social networking is actually a tool for unity consciousness. You know, when you get past a lot of the mindlessness of it and some of the chatter, you start looking at the fact that people are sharing more, maybe oversharing. But the bottom line is that whole idea of separation and living in that little town of yours and not having any access to the outside world is completely gone, because now suddenly everybody's likes and dislikes are thrown in your face all day long. And so suddenly maybe you realize that you're not alone by enjoying this activity or that content. You know, and you start realizing, or you learn something else that used to be strange and now becomes normal.
Yeah, and you know, and that's why I think this is a beautiful, interesting turn of events with our guest's daughter having had a photo shoot of people that want to start putting her on print because she's just that beautiful and the story is amazing. And I have to say, Mark, just before Paula left, she said to me, can I let my daughter hear this show? Is it okay if I give her the website to the archive? She wanted to let her. We're not talking behind her daughter's back. It's just she's 16. So when she's 18, I'd love to have her on the show. But in the meantime, we're hopefully talking for her, with her, and be able to say to her, "Thank you for being you."
Indeed, thank you, indeed, and congratulations.
So I actually thank you, Mark, and I thank Dorothy for supporting me in being able to conduct this interview, and both of you and myself too, and BBS for being the platform where we start this conversation in this way together. So with that, I am Filippo Voltaggio, and I. I'm a little tongue-tied. to all of you who are suffering, no more suffering. Life changes, and it can be good. Until next time, ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.